Blood oozed from the blackened meat of his upper arm. Scraps of paper, clothing, tools, miscellaneous litter, and personal items from the cabins and lower deck plunged through the lounge to crash into the grills. There might have been enough material to block them, at least long enough for the possessed to rally and try and shut down the vent or retreat back into the space plane. But the extra holes Eric had cut into the duct allowed an unrestricted flow of smaller articles into space. Tattered ribbons of water from the shower and taps in the bathroom poured through the open door to streak through the nearest hole. The uproarious torrent of air began to abate. Through pain-hazed eyes, Eric had watched the group's leader turn from semi-naked ogre to a pudgy 40-year-old man in dungarees as the microstorm raged. He was hanging onto a grab loop 2 meters away, legs pointing up rigidly at the nearest grill, trousers and shirt flapping madly. His mouth worked, bellowing curses and obscenities that were snatched away. A red glow grew around his hand, blood light shining through the skin, illuminating the bones within. Mucus and saliva streamed from his nose, joining the flood of debris and liquids vanishing into the duct. The seepage began to turn pink, then crimson. Now the glow from his hand was fading, along with the sound and the fury of the evacuating air. He fixed Eric with a disbelieving stare, as tears began to bubble and boil from the surface of his eyes. Balls of blood were spitting out of his nostrils with each beat of his heart. The last wisp of air vanished. Eric swung round as the force waned, rotating languidly on the end of the tether strip. The physiological medical schematic his neural mnemonics were displaying appeared to be a red statue, except for the right arm, which was completely black. Each turn swept the lounge into view. He saw the surviving possessed struggling through the solid cloud of junk that filled the achingly silent compartment. It was difficult to tell which of them were alive. Corpses, too badly mutilated, floated and tumbled and collided with the ones trying to reach the floor hatch. Dead or alive, everyone was weeping blood from their pores and orifices, as capillaries ruptured and membranes tore from the immense pressure gradient. They were acting out a bizarre three-dimensional wrestling match in slow motion, with the hatch as their prize. It was macabre. It swam from his view. Next time round there were fewer movements. Their faces, those he would remember without any help from his neural mnemonics image storage program, turning. They were slowing, running down like mechanoids suffering a power drain. The vacuum was turning foggy with fluid. He realized some of it was his own. Red. Very red. Turning. All purposeful movement had ceased within the lounge. There was only the gentle stirring of soggy dross. Around and around, and the redness was fading to grey with the ponderous solemnity of a sunset. Around. Ilex and its 8 cousins flew into a standard defense sphere formation 2,500 kilometers wide. Their distortion fields flared out to sample the masses and structure of local space. In their unique perceptive spectrum, Lalonde hung below them like a deep shaft, bored into the uniformity of space, radiating weak gravity streams to bind its 3 smaller moons and Kenyon. As it, in turn, was bound to the bright blue-white star. The interplanetary medium was rich with solar and electromagnetic energy. Van Allen belts encircling the planet shone like sunlight striking an angel's wings. Starships and space planes were revealed in orbit, dense knots in the fabric of space-time, pulsing hotly with electrical and magnetic forces. Electronic sensors detected a barrage of narrow-beam maser radiation flying between small, high-orbit sensor satellites, communication relay satellites, and the starships. Terence Smith was being informed of their presence, but there was no hostile response. Satisfied there was no immediate threat, the Void Hawks maintained their relative positions for another 90 seconds. Near the center of the formation, a zone of space the size of a quark, warped to an alarming degree as its mass leapt towards infinity and the first frigate emerged. The remaining 20 warships jumped in system over the next 6 minutes. It was a textbook sharp manoeuvre, giving Admiral Meredith Saldana the widest possible number of tactical options.